From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says so everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and, well, alongside of me, unfortunately, is no one just yet. Last I heard from Count Panic, which, by the way, he says so to all of you in hopes that you're all doing well, this WJOB Studios is still shut down for the moment. There was a large spike in the COVID cases in our area, and unfortunately, until that number dwindles back down, the hopes of me getting back into the studios are slim and none for the moment. But if there is one certainty, is that as long as I am able to make the podcast for you guys, which will never stop, I will always have some sort of content for you. With that said, you might be wondering why I didn't have the episode last week. If you guys aren't following me on social media, make sure you go over to the Facebook page at Bob After Dark or on Instagram at Bob After Dark. Out there, I was able to explain why we didn't put out an episode last week. It was the first and only time, I hope, that I'll ever have to do that. The reasoning being is I didn't want to put out an episode during the turmoil that our country was facing. I wanted you, the fans, to go out and educate yourself about what's going on in the situations around us. Over the past several months, the whole world has been going through a really weird change, and over the past few weeks, America specifically is going through a really weird time. I'm hoping that during these weird times that the year 2020 is looked back upon as the year that we started making necessary changes to the world around us. As I stated in the Facebook post last week, the scariest things in the world aren't necessarily things that go bump in the night or the monsters we talk about on the show, but the evils and tyranny that go on in the world around us. Here at Bob After Dark, we are a big proprietor and a big supporter of Black Lives Matter. We truly believe that everybody should have the right to live and should have the right to be able to exist without needing to feel horrified about the world around them. With that said, I'm happy to come back this week, but just keep in mind that my heart goes out to all of you. I love all of you, my fans, and I hope you are all very safe and comfortable during this time. If at any point you feel uncomfortable or unsafe or just feel like you need to talk to somebody about what's going on around you, don't hesitate to reach out. You can email me at bob@bobafterdark.com. I'm happy to talk to you about whatever's going on in your life, and I can hopefully be able to point you in the direction that needs to be, well, pointed to. Without further ado, if this is your first time ever listening to us in podcast land, make sure you go over to the Apple Podcast website and leave us a 5-star review. We like to read those 5-star reviews out loud on the show, and we haven't had a new one last week. So get on over to the Apple Podcast website and leave a nice review, and we're going to give you a shout out on the show. If this is your first time ever listening to the show, period, and interested to see how Bob After Dark works, is we cover anything legends, lore, and the supernatural, and we cover weird, creepy news stories of the week. The news stories are typically submitted by fans who find them in the world and want me to share the article or news story and then give my own 2 cents on them. This week we had a super fan, Becky from Indiana, sent me 3 news stories, which means I was able to cover all 3, and it's really great. So if any time you come across a news article that's anything paranormal that's being covered by mainstream media, weird advances in science that's almost like science fiction, or just sometimes the weird and bizarre news, that is what we like to cover for the first part of the show. Because we haven't had an episode in the past couple weeks, my news articles are dated back from 2 weeks ago. All the news we cover are from the week prior to the week up to the point that we actually record this episode. But because we haven't had the episode last week, let's play catch up, and I have 3 really interesting news articles to cover. The first one comes to us from Ireland, where we're going to be talking about, well, a legend in the Bob After Dark verse. Kevin Woods from Carlington County, Louth, is a prominent leprechaun advocate and activist with a history of campaigning for leprechaun rights. In the past, he has successfully lobbied for the mythical Irish fairies to receive EU protection or European protection. He also happens to run a tour business called Last Leprechauns of Ireland and considers himself an authority and custodian of iconic Irish sprites. With Ireland caught up in a current coronavirus global health crisis, Woods sought out to reassure the public that Ireland's leprechauns are doing just fine during an appearance on ITV's This Morning. According to the Leprechaun Whisperer, the Irish fairies are doing just fine, even though their numbers have dwindled in recent times. There were millions of them here in Ireland, and they all died apart from 236 of them, he explained to host Ruth and Eamon Holmes. I'm really the custodian of them and their lives, and I've been doing that since I got them a protected species. During the interview, Mr. Woods explained that while most people cannot see the leprechauns, he has special powers that mean they can appear to him and communicate through an outer-body experience. Asked how leprechauns are coping with Ireland's lockdown restrictions, Mr. Woods confirmed that they don't have a problem with it. While Mr. Woods' tour business has taken a hit in the past several months, he's not worried. It's not really a business to me. I have enough access to the gold, he explained. I don't need the business. I do it to tell people the story is true. He also sought to assure viewers that his alliances with the Irish fairies have not broken any of government's lockdown measures. Leprechauns are sprites. They manifest themselves to me as leprechauns. I visit them every day. I haven't broken the restrictions, he said. I communicate with them through an out-of-body experience. Everybody knows what I mean, and I can transfer my spirit up there. Unfortunately, not everybody is so convinced, with a flood of This Morning viewers talking on Twitter to criticize and question his appearance on the show. One wrote, "Can't believe they had a leprechaun whisperer on This Morning talking about lockdown." A second commented, "Ruth trying to keep a straight face when the man's talking about leprechauns is killing me." A third, meanwhile, said, "You know you've been in the house too long when you're watching an interview of Ireland's last leprechaun whisperer." Try saying that three times fast. So, I'm trying to debate how I actually feel about this story. I'm a firm believer in a fae-based kind of infrastructure, and I've had conversations with people that have considered themselves fae doctors in the past, people that are able to kind of communicate and bring balance between the fae world and our own. We've talked about this considerably a lot on the during Fae Lore Month, and unfortunately, with conversations of these things in public light, public typically really likes to pick fun at people, especially like this. I would say anybody dealing with the Fae is probably, in as far as social structures, lower than people that are mediums and psychics talking to spirits. For whatever reason, people talking to ghosts are considered a little bit more reputable than people that consider talking to fairies. I don't know why. I don't want to knock the guy for what he believes in, and I don't want to outright say that he's wrong. I appreciate what he is doing, and I can appreciate what his tours mean and what they bring. I'm a big proprietor on letting people believe what they want, and I am a huge proprietor on people believing what they need to and how they want to practice as long as it's not hurting anybody. Is this guy hurting anybody during his tours? It doesn't seem like it. In fact, if I was in Ireland, I would take the tour myself. And I'd love to learn more about this kind of a thing, and I, for one, think it's a big part of culture, as we talk about a lot on Bob After Dark. Now, whether or not I believe that he is the custodian behind it, the one fae doctor I've actually had a conversation with was very secretive about their practices. So I'm not entirely sure how I feel about him being public about it either. Either way, I'm very much impressed that Mr. Woods was able to kind of take his belief system, create it into a business, and be able to try to spread the word of, you know, traditions past. Our second news story comes to us from Mexico, where residents of a community are on edge following the sighting of a mysterious giant that some suspect could either be a Bigfoot or an alien. The eerie incident reportedly took place last week on a communal piece of farmland near the city of, and keep in mind, folks, I don't speak Spanish, so bear with me, Ciudad Vales, that's Ciudad Vales. A waitress to the weirdness, identified only as Mrs. Antonia, said the sighting took place at 5:30 in the afternoon as she and her husband were playing with their child. The group were taken aback when they heard a sound resembling an explosion that seemed to come from a hill on the property. Thinking it was an avalanche about to occur, they looked over at the spot where the sound emitted and were stunned to see what was described as a tall, thin man that Antonio likened to a giant. Although her husband initially made fun of her for being scared, she said, he also quickly became frightened when he spotted the mysterious visitor. The witnesses were able to snap a few photographs of the creature, one of which could be seen above. However, it is difficult to decipher what, exactly, is perched on top of the hill. Nonetheless, word of the incident has spread throughout the region as raised concerns among residents. Indigenous elders to the region are said to be quiet about the case, but are rumored to have suggested that the eerie interloper could have been an alien or somehow related to the coronavirus. Others have put forward a possibility that it could have been a Bigfoot, but the famed cryptid is not actually a part of local legend to the area, where the infamous Skinwalker appears to be more frequent suspect for similar bizarre encounters, which would be attributed to the Sasquatch here in America. Wow. What a strange encounter. And actually, I saw some photos posted of this. This was featured on Coast to Coast. The photos of it are really bizarre, and the thing is huge. I would argue that the photos of this thing are a lot bigger than a typical Bigfoot. And from what we know about skin crawlers, I don't know about them being able to, you know, grow at such great heights like you could see in the photo. Sightings of giants aren't uncommon in the south part of America leading up into Mexico, whereas those sightings have been around for a considerably very long time. With that said, do I think that it's an actual giant? I don't know, because, you know, some of these photos you see of Bigfoot and whatnot are those famous blurry photos where we don't know exactly what we're looking at. I also find it interesting that the elders are attributing it straight to, like, aliens. They're not even trying to either logically come up with something or going back to folklore that they have to answer upon things. For example, if I was to go to the southwest part of America and going to, like, Arizona, New Mexico area, and I had a problem with whatever, somebody may attest it to a skinwalker, the elders are skipping right over that and saying alien, or it's something to deal with the coronavirus. Now, I don't know if the coronavirus is causing anything like that to happen, causing people to grow, or maybe they're saying it's the coronavirus manifesting. I'm not entirely sure. It's a really interesting case, though, of something really weird, and it not necessarily being something small or a simple ghost. A lot of times what we see in media, especially when things kind of get widespread attention, is they're easily debunked pictures or they're really, like, strange videos of tiny things. We don't see a whole lot of evidence of really big things. So it's really interesting to see, and I'm really curious to follow up on the story and see if somebody can explain what exactly this family saw. Last news story actually comes to us from Scotland. And no, we're not talking about Nessie, which is what Panic probably would have been very excited about, but instead, we're going to talk about something that Count Panic would have really enjoyed, is the potential of Yule Cats. So, in Scotland and the greater UK area, there have been reports of giant cat sightings for a very, very long time, and it's kind of their local cryptid legend. I guess you can say, other than, like, the Loch Ness Monster, it's like, oh, did you see the giant cat? Well, stories and sightings have kind of dwindled down over time, but in 2020 alone, we had a total of 9 new separate accounts being found in the Fife area, and somebody actually got a photo of it, and they look very much like jaguars, but way bigger than that. These things are kind of silking around back farmlands, and they're taking out giant rodents and cattle. Let me explain to you something about how horrifying that, like, mental image is of these giant cats taking out cattle. And I guess you could write it off as a simple bobcat or a jaguar, but they look bigger, and they look more menacing, and they look more, like, domesticated. I know that sounds strange, but in the one photo, and I'll post it up on the Facebook page, the one photo doesn't look like a normal feral cat. It almost looks like it's somebody's pet that they just let kind of roam the countryside. And Count Panic, I don't think, has a residence in Scotland yet, so I don't think he has one of those giant cats. And I just want to thank Becky so much for being able to share those stories with me. If you have a weird news article that you'd like to share, don't hesitate to reach out. You can hit us up on social media at Bob After Dark on Instagram or Bob After Dark Facebook page. Shoot us over a message and say, look what I found, and I'll be happy to share it and give you a shout out on the show. Now, before we move on to the lore of the week and what I consider probably my scariest episode to date, why don't we take a quick little break and listen to the words from a very good podcast that you should be checking out.
This is Mike.
This is Jacob.
And this is Matt.
We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown. You can catch us every other Monday on, actually, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we're back. So, here on Bob After Dark, I would like to point out that I am a very family-friendly show. I have no problem telling that to people when I'm at events. I have no problem when minors come to my panels at cons. And I always like to pride myself in that. There's never any content that I put out that is necessarily, like, overtly horrifying or nightmarish. I try to do everything I have in a very real light, and I try to kind of make the nightmares a little bit more understandable. I grew up in a very weird childhood where I was plagued by nightmares and plagued by what I think is paranormal events. So now that I have the opportunity to kind of give people the knowledge and the strength not to be afraid of these things, I like to take pride in that. However, with this episode, I would like to toss out that this probably isn't my most child-friendly episode. Not because the content is suggestive or anything, but because I'm a true believer that what I'm talking about is the scariest content I have ever covered so far on my show. What we're talking about this week is The Man in the Hat and Shadow People. So, viewer discretion advised for my younger audiences. Trigger warnings, things like night terrors, suffocation, the dark. So just take a moment if you need to and prepare yourself. All right, let's continue. I was really surprised when I started researching for this episode. Not by the topic, because The Man in the Hat is a very popular discussion, but the sheer response I had. I put up a simple all-points bulletin on The Man with the Hat. I was asking, have you seen him? People from all over the world reached out, and their responses were all nearly identical. Before we begin the lore, I want to share their stories, and I want you guys to really pay attention to what they share and see if you can draw parallels from them. Most of these people have never met one another in real life and are very much separated. I have permission to share these. Here are their encounters. The first story comes to us from Ben from Indianapolis. I listened to the last podcast on the left, and they recently talked about this too. I didn't realize it was a common phenomena. I had a reoccurring dream a handful of times, which still freaks me out to this day. When it first happened, I was pretty young, maybe 8 or 9 years old. The dream wasn't always exactly the same, but it always happened in the same place. It was always in a big pitch-black warehouse, there would have been other kids with me, and we always tried to find a way to escape. Throughout the dream, the other kids would disappear into the darkness one by one. Once all the kids would disappear, I would wake up in the middle of the night terrified. There was a 2-week span where I had this dream 5 times. After that, I had the dream 1 or 2 more times within the next year or two. I don't ever remember having any other reoccurring dreams throughout my life. When I would wake up from the nightmare, this tall man in a trench coat would be standing around the corner from the other part of my room. My bedroom had 2 rooms and was separated by a wall that had a 4-foot opening on one side, so the man was always standing right behind the other side of the wall, kind of leaning around the corner. His head was near the ceiling, and I remember the trench coat, and he wore a hat that reminded me of one of those 1930s reporters would wear. I've always thought this dream meant something because the man felt so real, and like I said, I've never had any reoccurring dreams other than that. To this day, I haven't had a nightmare that gave me more fear like those did. I shared a room with my brother, who is 3 years younger, and I never thought I brought it up to him. But this weekend, we were just talking about weird things that were happening in this house, mainly just door slamming and other loud noises every once in a while we would hear coming from upstairs. But he remembers seeing the tall man in a trench coat wearing the same hat. And that sent shivers down my spine. I thought maybe it was some form of sleep paralysis, but I guess not. Our next encounter comes to us from our old pal Steve, my on-again, off-again co-host. Steve, just for a quick little backstory, was a paranormal investigator for many, many years, and he shares an encounter he had on an investigation. I was on an investigation in Central Illinois at the Bartonville Asylum. I was on the tech team, so myself and 2 other tech team members went down to the basement to figure out where we wanted to set up our DVR cameras for the night. The stairwell was at the end of a long basement hallway with all the doors lining on the left-hand side of the hall, and on the right-hand side of the hall was just a wall. As we were discussing camera placement, we all saw a tall, solid shadow duck out of the room and then lean back in. The shadow had to bend over to poke its head out the door and had to be at least 8 feet tall. The 3 of us looked at each other and realized we had to check out the room for both safety and investigation's sake. We entered the room and there was an old exam table in the middle of the room. No way in or out of the room except the doorway. Unnerved, we went back into the hallway. As soon as we looked back down the hallway, we saw the same exact dark figure duck out of the next doorway. We immediately got chills and realized whatever it was, it was trying to lure us further down the dark basement hall. We decided that discretion was better part of valor, and we got out of there. We don't know what we saw, but it left an impression on all of us. And I want to point out real quick that Steve is a very big skeptical believer, so the fact that he can give an account like that is pretty something special. Arne from Minnesota went above and beyond during his explanation, sending me a drawing he did up of his childhood bedroom. He was saying one night he woke up and he saw a figure standing in the doorway that really scared him. This is a common occurrence for him, and this night he got brave enough to ask out who it was, and it turned out to be his father looking for something. Darne asked his father why he always did that, and Darne's father said, "What do you mean? I don't come bother you in the middle of the night. I don't just come stand here. I'm looking for something." So Darne was up in the middle of the night seeing a black figure in his doorway that made absolutely no sense not to be his father. Joe from the Chicago suburbs saw my post and immediately got a little weirded out and freaked out about what exactly we were talking about. Joe said as a child he used to have dreams that he thought were related to the movie Ghost, where the demons were portrayed as shadow people. But he kept having these dreams over and over again, and these dreams of these shadows just chasing him and eventually would catch up to him, he'd wake up and have sleep paralysis. So I asked him a little bit about the shadow people, and he said what scared him the most about my post was that the depiction of the man with the hat seemed to be the leader of the shadows that would come out and reach out to him. And he always remembers that if the man with the hat reached out to him and caught him, his sleep paralysis he would wake up from would be worse than the others. Richo from Chicago writes in that he saw that thing when he was 12, and so did my dog at the time. Long story short, my dog woke me up because he was growling. I turn over and notice that there was no reflection from the parking lot light against the TV that was always there. Instead, it was a shadow of some shape swaying back and forth. I didn't know what to do with myself, so I threw the covers over my dog and myself until it went away. Thank you, Richo. I'm trying not to laugh during your story, but putting your covers over your head is a very, very good way of handling it. The last story I wanted to share was one from Eddie from Whiting, Indiana. Eddie writes in that he saw what we were talking about with the man in the hat, and he doesn't believe he saw him, but he did say he had an encounter with a shadow person once. He said it was probably right around high school or shortly after graduation. He was sleeping and he felt like someone was staring at him, and he woke up and noticed some moonlight getting into his room. At this point, he couldn't move or speak. He just saw the figure go in and out of the light, and it finally goes into the dark, and shortly after, he feels something moving up his chest, and once again got to my upper chest and neck area, and I had some trouble breathing. So with everything I could, I just did my best to sit up, and luckily was able to do so. After that, I was just kind of confused what happened, but I was finally able to go back to sleep, no problem. Many others didn't share specific encounters, but rather said something like, I see him as I was trying to sleep, or as I was trying to sleep, or that I see them as I'm maybe in my dreams. A lot of these stories seem to derive from dreams or some sort of dreamlike state, or sleep-like state. It always makes me wonder what exactly are these shadow people, and probably more terrifying, what exactly the man in the hat is. Some say the man is no different than a shadow person, while others say he's some sort of leader for the shadow people. This topic directly and deeply inspires and interests me and scares me because of an experience I had about 2 years ago. I, like a lot of you, had an experience with the man in the hat. Not just your typical shadow person. This was the one and only time I ever had an experience like this. I woke up and felt as if I was pinned to my bed by a force unseen. I logically knew that it was sleep paralysis and trying not to panic to the best of my ability. The short and quick breaths were what I was trying to focus on most, and specifically trying to wiggle my toes a la Kill Bill. I knew there was a possibility I would see something. This was not my first time with sleep paralysis, you see. I've had several encounters as a young teenager with them. But I never saw anything during it, just the pressing fear and the not being able to move. I've always heard about things people would often see, even though up to that point, again, I never really saw it. I always prepped for the worst whenever I had these. But at the time, I was just trying to keep calm, and I tried looking out into the dark void of the room so I can make out something and focus on it. When, I kid you not, I saw a hand in the door frame and pulled in by a shape. Here it was, my first shadow person. And I can tell you that I'm losing the little control that I had during this time. I thought I could convince myself to snap out of it and go on and flip on a light switch and get out of the headspace that I'm in. I never knew if these things were paranormal or not leading up to the point, so I wanted whatever control of the situation to at least figure out what it was. As the figure came a little bit more into focus, I was able to make out more characteristics a little bit more. It was tall, wearing some sort of long coat or cape maybe, and it had on what it looked like a wide-brimmed hat, kind of like what you see on the Quaker Oats guy oatmeal. The small panic I had was then changed up into a full-blown anxiety attack, as if it's something that it wanted or caused. It never really moved closer than a step or two, and I knew if I didn't do something, I was a goner, or at least in that moment I thought I was. So I was able to muster up something, And I think I said something aloud to the extent of, "You better hope I'm dead, because if you didn't, it'll be a big mistake for you if you don't." I'm not sure exactly to this day if I said it out loud, or if I said it just mentally. As I said it, it sort of backed up behind the door frame and just disappeared. Didn't walk back in. As I was able to kind of regain control of my body and my legs again, I walked over to the door and the door frame area where it disappeared off into the hallway. But as I got up, my door was still closed, and I never heard of a door opening or closing. That memory still haunts me, and I still think about it to this day. I still try to figure out what exactly it was that I experienced. Now, was it that I was aware of something that was coming and I worried until the Hat Man came into view? Why is it that some folk only get scared when it is the man in the hat? Let's dive into this phenomenon a little bit more and try to find out what it is. Now, sleep paralysis is no new phenomena. It has been happening all throughout history and various parts of the world. In a study that was dated back to 2011, something like 25% of the world's population have claimed to experience this. For centuries, people have claimed to see shadow people during these experiences. Author of the paranormal book, The Hat Man, The True Story of Evil Encounters, she describes the shadow people as been around since the dawn of time, and a dark influence on society. You could see them talked about in the Quran. It describes them as a pitch-black, sapient beings that aren't entirely physical, spiritual. Early Europeans said that they were vampiric in nature, said that they desired blood, and without it they could not be reformed, basically ending up with some folk to prick their fingers and leave offerings to the shadow people so they wouldn't be bothered in the night. House believes that the man in the hat is a demonic entity. No one really knows when the first documented case of a man in the hat was, but throughout history his description has always come with slight variances. Most say the man is at least 6 to 8 feet tall, wears some sort of long clothing item, and is wearing a hat. Now, the hat does change form from story to story. Most popular are the instances of the wide-brimmed fedora. Others say he wears a top hat, a cowboy hat, or a bowler derby. Most stories I've read about in and out of my own experiences is the face is always undistinguishable, hiding in the dark under his white hat. But in some stories, he has glowing red eyes and carries a gold pocket watch that he occasionally pulls out and takes a look at. The interactions of the man vary from story to story. In my experience and in many others, he appears that he's more voyeuristic, content with just watching the person as they sleep. In other cases, he takes more of a hands-on approach, often said that he comes to try to choke the person, or somehow burns the person's chest and scalp as he reaches out his hand to touch them. And probably the scariest, and one I hope never happens to me, is waking up to having him hunched over the person with what looks like a smile. Jeez, that just gave me goosebumps saying that out loud. Most shadow people encounters have them just hanging around bedtime, while there are many stories of the man in the hat appearing during the day and at dusk in random parts of the home. Imagine looking outside your window just to see him in your backyard. People have seen him walking and floating around up and down stairs at the most inconvenient times to scare somebody. The Hat Man often makes appearances in places with great trauma. If there are lots of fighting, arguing, or just feeling great anguish, much like we find out during poltergeist activity as well. Hollis tells two stories in her book of times when the man was able to actually speak fluently. One telling of a German soldier that was having a conversation with the man, and the man in the hat said his nickname was Scratch, an old nickname for the devil himself. There's another story of a suicidal man who woke up in a hospital after a close encounter with an attempt of his life. The Hat Man was there and said before disappearing into the night, "I almost had you." Some believe shadow people are more of just an afterimage of a figure who is lost between worlds or stuck in the veil. Others say that they are more interdimensionally and they just kind of exist, seen more playful or confused in their movements. Rest assured, there's not any playful views on this man. Some say his appearance is just to drive fear and to make someone feel it worse so they can feed or he can feed off of the energy be given out like some sort of psychic vampire, but worse. It is said that sometimes he can whisper nonsensical warnings or very vague riddles about things to come and warnings and disasters to come, like some sort of Mothman creature. Scientists believe that sleep paralysis is caused by a disturbance in the REM cycle, which can cause hallucinations. That can explain how some people see shapeless shadow people, but my counterargument to that is, why are so many people making out his figure? A lot of stories I've read from the research I've done is that the first experience that people often point to is that they were children, in which case then you could just buy into the fact that maybe it was a child's really over-imaginative, you know, visions or nightmares, and then they were able to kind of see into the dark and make out that it's a man in the hat by maybe looking out and seeing a coat rack with a hat on it at night, and that just happens to be the scary part. But that doesn't explain my situation. I saw him as an adult, right? And I don't really have, I have an overactive imagination, but not when I sleep. I'm very much a conscious sleeper for the most part. It just kind of comes with the territory of what I do. And I'm able to kind of make out what's going on. If I wake up with sleep paralysis, I'm kind of aware that I'm having sleep paralysis. And even though it really, really sucks, I'm able to kind of talk my way through the situation so I'm not, you know, dealing with it in a moment. Probably one of the strangest situations I read online of an experience was of the man in the hat coming to a girl who said that she was going to experience great loss and that her boyfriend was actually not all that he says he is. After that point, she was seeing shadow people and the man in the hat on a nightly basis, leading up to the part where she got really, really sick, went to the doctor, and found out she actually had a miscarriage. Not much longer after that, it come to find out the boyfriend was actually convicted of kidnapping and beating people, you know, during drunken bouts. She dumped him after he got arrested, and she never saw the shadow people again. Other stories claim that he didn't actually come alone, instead coming with groups of traditional shadow people. You know, this leads me to the question, and probably the most universal question of them all, is what exactly is he? Now, there's different theories, and I have them narrowed down to five. The first one, and probably one of the most common ones to believe in, is that the man in the hat and shadow people are actually extra-dimensional beings known as djinn. And talking about the djinn and King Solomon, it can literally be an episode or two of discussion down the line, which we'll get to, but I'll give you the abridged version. Djinn were these beings kind of created that God disbanded and threw them out into the darkness. Some people claim that maybe the djinn were the first real demons. And when you hear about, like, genie stories out in the Midwest, the word genie actually derives from the word djinn. And some claim that djinn actually come back through the, you know, through the through planes of reality and through the veil and actually come to us as shadowy beings, only to frighten us and then feed off of the fear that they get from being here, which would make sense when people believe that the man in the hat is here only to cause fear and anguish and basically to feed off of it. The second one, I believe back in 2001, there was an interview back on Coast to Coast Radio about the man in the hat, and they were taking call-ins throughout the evening. And Coast to Coast likes to really think that, and there's nothing wrong with this, but they really like to point out that what we're experiencing is actually extraterrestrial in origin. So maybe the man in the hat is some sort of extraterrestrial entity, and shadow people are just that, and maybe these extraterrestrial entities are watching us as we sleep to observe. And maybe when we pick up on it, or maybe a side effect to whatever they're causing or doing is interrupting our REM cycles and waking up and actually seeing them before we're supposed to. I don't know exactly how much I buy into that one, but I figured I'd lay out that theory. The third one is they're demons. They're attacking you when you sleep. And the man in the hat is some sort of, like, higher power demon. He is sitting up higher on the court. While some people say that the man in the hat, and especially with Hollis's recollection for him calling himself Scratch, is the devil, and some people may say that he's Lucifer himself, I think Lucifer probably has better things to do than to come hang out in people's homes and frighten them and try to make them scared. I don't know if I buy into the idea that shadow people are demonic entities per se. Maybe there's something to it, and maybe the man in the hat himself is some sort of really malevolent spirit and some sort of demon that is making appearances. Now, to say that all shadow people are definitely demons, I would highly argue against that, because there's a lot of times in the paranormal world that the shadow people come across as more scared of you than you are of it. Shadow people, in my opinion, in some cases at least, are entities that are astral projecting and not able to take a complete physical form where we're at. And what we're seeing is how they interact. I've seen situations, and I've been involved with situations, and I've seen cases of shadow people actually being after images of things that have happened in the past. So it is arguably that maybe that it's some sort of time loop and shadow people are just events that happen that we're leaving behind. Some kind of, like, you know, haunting that, you know, keeps happening over and over again. So maybe that's exactly what it is. And the man with the hat, though, is definitely some sort of intelligent haunting. Whatever he is definitely not something on the positive side, other than maybe the one case where the man in the hat warned the girl of a miscarriage. But even then, I don't believe that it is a positive thing. And the fourth thing to really look at is it possible that the man in the hat is just all one giant collective of dream hallucinations? Now, it is important to look at the skeptical side and trying to figure out logically how people are having shared, you know, images and shared, you know, visions of things that are happening. Well, it's very possible that's the case. I mean, I could buy into it. The idea of the man in the hat and the imagery is a very popular kind of trope in fiction. A paranormal investigator friend of mine, Adam, actually chimed in on the post when I sent it out saying, "Have you seen this man?" And he said, yeah, it could be either V from V for Vendetta or Darkwing Duck or Darkman. And I kind of got a good laugh out of that. And I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, that's a very common used image that people could see, and they just kind of make a tulpa out of it. What I mean by a tulpa is something that we think about and we breathe life into, and it eventually becomes a living thing. I don't necessarily buy into that, though. The reason being is there's no cultural differences between the man in the hat. I couldn't find one case where a man in the hat would fit where he would be at geographically. Not all fashion is the same from place to place. Not all headwear is different from place to place. And given that some people said that they've seen the man in the hat wearing things like a top hat or a bowler derby or a cowboy hat, I mean, that's fine, but those aren't necessarily like, you know, traditional headdresses or turbans or anything like that that you would see in different parts of the world where people are still reporting seeing him, but seeing the same exact image. Now, keep in mind that there are people out there who are skeptics that have seen the man in the hat, and they have all described it as the same exact thing. And there's probably people that aren't aware of the cultural significance behind the shadowy images that we see. I don't necessarily think this is a dream hallucination. I just want to close this by saying that this is a real phenomena that does cause a lot of scary situations for a lot of folk. Whether or not the man in the hat is paranormal is up for debate. If you're interested to read more and to learn more about the collective scariness that we see on the day-to-day, I highly recommend you go check out thehatmanproject.com. It is a large collection of man-in-the-hat stories and encounters collected by people from all over the world with all different life walks and such. I just wanted to thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of Bob After Dark. And to my mom and dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, not all who wander are lost. And as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.